Yo, awakened fam, what is going on? Welcome back to the next episode of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. Now, so for all the returning listeners, you guys know the drill by now. There is a little bit of shit we've got to cover before we can kick today's episode off. First things first, I want to give a massive thank you to everyone that listens to what I have to say at the beginning of this podcast and gives me their feedback. Gives me their feedback on what they think of the episode that they currently listen to. And yeah, just giving me the heads up of how I can improve overall. Like your support, your love means everything to me, guys. It really does. And I want to make this podcast as beneficial and as valuable as I can to you. You're giving me a few hours of your day to listen to me chat some shit, and I just want to make it worth your time. I want you to learn something from it. I want you to be able to pick up something from it that you can begin to integrate into your life and see the real value for, or I should say, see the real value of the stuff that I'm talking about. I know it's far-fetched, I know it's out there, but there is method to this madness, I tell you. And you gotta live it in order to experience it and really reap the benefits. So please drop me a review on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts. I don't know if they're the same thing. I haven't got an Apple phone, but it seems to be two separate things nowadays. Google Podcasts, Stitcher, what else are we on? Spotify? Well, you can't really drop a review on Spotify, so the best thing is to jump over onto Instagram afterwards at Primal Alchemy UK. Follow me if you're not already, and let me know what you think. It really does mean the world to me, guys. So please just take a few seconds after listening to this podcast and just drop me some feedback, and it will be massively appreciated. As a massive thank you, I always give you guys an exclusive discount code. That is the code REDPILL. That's the code REDPILL that when used at checkout at primalalchemy.co.uk, you'll get the exclusive 10% discount off anything within your shopping basket. So, if you're brand new to the Primal Alchemy brand, this is your perfect chance to check the website out. Pick yourself up a bag of our Vitruvian protein. That's our flagship organic whey protein superfood blend. It's the only health supplement on the market to be certified organic, keto, paleo approved, forged with the world's finest high vibrational superfoods, adaptogenic herbs, nootropic herbs, prebiotics, you name it, it's got it in. And I made it to be pound for pound the third dimension's ultimate source of cellular nourishment. Now, that might sound like a lot on the plate, but I'm telling you guys, it will deliver if you give it a go. We've also got our ancestral potential coaching plans. So, this is for you to be able to work one-to-one with me. It depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for an exercise program, then we've got our Demigod Fitness program, which is going to be my functional fitness one-to-one work with you. We've got our Quantum Fuel Nutrition program. It is what it is. It's my special outlook on nutrition, which is an ancestral based perspective approach on nutrition, looking at what really fuels the body, which is electrons and photons. Again, pretty far-fetched, I know. That's why it's called quantum. And we've got our one-to-one enlightened biohacking tutoring. So this is your chance to be able to have a sit down with me over Skype, over Zoom, whatever works best for you. And I can talk you through some more of the, I guess, more of the esoteric protocols and practices that I integrate into my own life that I have found some really interesting benefits from in terms of altering your state of consciousness, increasing your physical, mental, and spiritual capabilities, and just overall just taking shit to the next level. So if you're interested, again, check it out, primalalchemy.co.uk. Use the code REDPILL. All right, so moving on to today's episode. Now, if you are a returning listener, or even if you're a new listener, this is probably something that you're not going to have come across before. This is something that I am interested in. I am interested in it, and I've done a little bit of research into it in the past. And I thought, you know what? Let's jump in on the deep end on this one, and let's get one of the world experts concerning this just onto the show, and we'll see how we go. So today's episode is with Miss Laurel Erica. Laurel Erica. I hope I got your name right, Laurel. I fucked up again. I messed it up when I was introducing you on the actual show, and I just fucked up then. Sorry. You know what I mean, Laurel. You know I love you. Anyway, so Laurel is the creator of Word Magic, which she described as a revolutionary form of wordplay. And what it really is that she's done so well, you're going to see it in the podcast, guys. She has a way of articulating the English language where it is hypnotizing. And it taps into something much deeper than the conscious mind. It taps into something where it just resonates with you at such a deeper level that what she is speaking, just be it the truth, be it her truth, it just opens up the English language to you and you begin to understand why the English language was created and some of the deeper secrets that are encoded within it. And one of the things that I like about Laurel, that she the way that she explains about the English language itself, is that how the alphabet itself is a code. Our language is like a software, and you want to think of the English language itself as like the leading software of the Western mind. And this ties in very nicely to any of you that have listened to previous podcasts of mine, how I talk about the simulation theory. And how everything at its roots is a mathematical formula. The Matrix. Well, maybe we can use the English language to decode the Matrix and peek behind the veil. And this episode is going to tie very nicely into an episode that's coming in maybe like a month or so from now with a future guest, which I haven't released yet, but I kind of did it as a joint series, but they're a little bit far out. So yeah. Guys, let's just jump straight into this. I've blabbered on again. It's fucking like 8 minutes into the intro and I need to cut this shit down. I don't even know if you guys listen to this part of the podcast. So yes, let's jump on with it and let's get woke as fuck. Morpheus, tell these fools what's up.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below. What lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. Looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar. As we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal. With a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal. And your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self. Mastery, it's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Prima Open Me.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Three, two, one, and oh, sweet Hermes. Guys, we are back with the next episode of the Red Pill Initiation Hour. And this one is going to be a gem. It really is. This is going to be something that is completely out of the ordinary schedule of this podcast, but it's something that I know you guys will be intrigued by if you give it some time. Now, as we have come to familiarize ourselves a little bit with the overarching phenomenon philosophy I'm trying to present to you guys with this podcast. This is quite a fringe subject, but it's very powerful in that once you begin to understand it, and not just understand it, but also play with it yourself and integrate it into your life, it becomes a very powerful medium between you and higher sources of consciousness. And I've been looking at getting today's guest on for quite some time. I am a fan of her work, and you will find out why when we finally kick this show off. And I think you're really gonna like this one, guys. You just give it the time and really soak in what's gonna be said, and take this more as a meditation. Listen to what's being said and almost have an introspective analysis of what the effects it's having on you on a deeper level. Because you'll find that if you kind of try to switch off your sort of analytical mind of understanding what's being said on this, and just kind of be with it, I think this is where you're going to see the benefit. So let's just jump straight into it. So today's guest, we're really going to go in deep. She is the verbal alchemist, the rhythmic linguistic enchantress herself. So, and she's going to be calling forward the shining light, the shining spirit on today's episode. Let's give a warm welcome to Laurel Erica. Laurel, thank you for coming on.
Hello, Chris. Would you be so kind as to shift your emphasis in the pronunciation of my name?
So what is it? Sorry?
It's Laurel rather than Laurel.
Laurel. See, Laurel, now this is the thing. I know that something like that has such powerful inclinations in terms of how... Yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking about word magic today, just straight up. So it's important that I get that down. So Laurel, sorry for the mispronunciation.
No. What you did was beautiful when you pronounced it Laurel. The L is represents God, like Michael and Gabriel. And
El Elohim.
Yeah. So you switched it, and perhaps it was an appropriate... nomenclature chiropractic event.
Cool. All right.
Make up a silly sounding, so imposing word that's really basically nonsense in any case.
So, yeah, it just must be my, like you said, with the L for God, the elite. It must be my obsession with, the elite and God that caused me subconsciously to, in the moment, spirit it out like that. But yeah, Laurel, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. And what you just said opens up such a fun conversation for me, because of L was the first letter of the alphabet that I recognized as symbolically significant. And so, and what happened was, I was a teenager sitting on my bed, and I wrote the word word. And then I inserted the L, and I saw that I'd instantly turned the word into the world with the infusion of that L, which represents God. So then I took the word God, and I infused the L, and it turned into gold. And then I have a little aphorism that gold is fool's god. Ooh. So anyway, that's kind of where word magic opened up for me as a teenager.
Yeah, so I mean, just to, I guess, to kind of give yourself a real formal introduction, if you could give everyone that's listening a little bit of a breakdown about, like, who you are and what you're about, because it's a very interesting subject, like I explained briefly introducing you. And it's one of those that not many people are aware of this. So it takes a rare soul and an interesting soul at that to be of your profession and expertise within this area.
Well, you are. Oh my goodness! Let me turn off my phone. Thank you. So, I was born to do this work. And for those who have not seen my work, I do what I call a translation of the English language. I spell it T-R-A-N-C-E with the understanding or innerstanding that words are casting spells. So the words spell and write, those are words about sacred enchantment. So the same vocabulary is used to describe our ordinary use of language. And the Genesis myth of just about every culture, East and West, high and low, says it all started with the word sung or spoken by the infinite creative intelligence. And so we don't know what that means. However, we are speakers of the word. In scriptures, I believe it says we're made in the image and likeness and out of whatever it is that brought us forth. So that must mean that words have significance and power. So I started very early with what I'm doing here. I do recall saying to my parents when I was 3 or 4, I bet I now know all the words in the English language. And my mother said, I bet you don't, and spoke a word I'd never heard before. And I said, well, what language was that? Because I was so convinced. So I started early. I mean, there's so many different directions I can take this in. I started early. I started playing with my father had a level, a carpenter's level, and I was fascinated how level it was and that the word level itself is level. It's the same front and back. And, and parallel. It has three parallel lines. So I was looking at how the language was mirroring us back to ourselves. And so that was just quite interesting for me. And I have played since childhood with words. I've made some really fascinating discoveries. Playing with words was because life was too unpleasant and uncomfortable. So I spent a lot of time going very deep into the language and was surprised to have discovered something of interest to others.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I've watched a lot of your videos and in the way that you kind of decipher and unpackage certain words, language, and really present it for what it is. And yeah, we're so conditioned from a young age in that the first things we are taught is how to spell, and it's kind of right there, it's summed up right there in the word. You're taught to spell, as in to cast spells, to learn the language. And the English language itself is very interesting. Our letters are like ideograms in that they represent ideas, very like symbology almost. They're sacred geometrical shapes that are that convey and project a frequency to whoever it is that we're casting our spells on. Once we combine these certain shapes in order, it creates a word, and when we pronounce the word, it's projecting a vibration out into the world. And it can have a profound effect on not only our level of consciousness but also on whoever is around us. And yeah, I just found your work so intriguing. And if you can kind of just open up a little bit in terms of, you've explained how you got into your work, and I was wondering what has that work brought out of you? Is it, have you had any sort of induced mystical experiences, a spiritual significance from your work, anything around those lines? That's, or is it all kind of tied together hand in hand?
Let me just get collected for a moment to see what wants to bubble up. Well, words were my escape out of this dimension. So they gave me solace and refuge. I became of sound mind because I listened to the sounds of words and the sensuality within them and the rhythm of them and the hypnotic tempo, all sorts of things. So in terms of mystical experiences, I had awakenings at various times throughout my youth. There was no one there to reflect me and let me know where I was or anything. So I just kept going deep into my one primary refuge, which is words and nature.
Yeah, would you, how profound were these experiences when you were young? Would you care to share any of these, or is it more personal?
Well, what I'll do is just tell you the essence of it quickly and how it parallels the path I'm on. So it's like the phrase in pool or billiards about putting a little English on a ball. Well, we have put so much English on global consciousness that it's given it a certain spin or cast. And so my thought and intention and belief is that we can put a new spin on the world. And in my book and CD, I spell world, W-H-I-R-L-E-D, to point out just how specific that word is to what it's talking about, which happens so often in English and is mostly overlooked and underheard. Was that clear, or was that too windy about?
No, that was cool. That was good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, just... like this is a subject that would be very new to people, and it's I just want to kind of give them a good foundation of what the power of word actually has. And like for me, one of the little word plays that I've heard of and seen in the past that I like is a little thing like words. But if you take the S and then bring it to the front, you've got sword. So it show like it's just little things like that in the power of our words, in that we can use them as a weapon, which these words have been heavily weaponized against us to attack our subconscious, to program our subconscious by the sort of dark magicians and forces that be, that understand this ancient knowledge. They understand this, and they understand how to use it. And because we are unbeknownst to it, they use it as one of many of their methodologies of keeping us locked into a certain state of consciousness. And
so that's you've brought up so many subjects that I'd like to address. You are a lovely person to connect with. Thank you. So I'll go backward. The last thing you talked about was the dark overlords looking to lock us into lockstep order. I see a parallel impulse among us for mirror images of the same thing. One is for turning everyone into ants under the command of a queen. The other is to aggregate humanity into something akin, into a superorganism. And an image is of the starlings. Is it the starling? They call it a murmuration when these thousands of birds move like clouds and just this rhythmical pattern in the sky, and nobody gets bumped into. So that's a pretty clever demonstration of harmony. But look at the word harmony, it's harm and money. How often is that done? So I want to back up to the dark overlords. I have two particular thoughts about that. One is that I'm not convinced that everything that I stumble over in the language is intentionally implanted to trick us. Mm-hmm. No doubt that must occur. Yet I have a quote among my files from Dan Brown, author of The Da Vinci Code, that English was considered la lingua pura because it was removed from the Vatican's, it wasn't a Romance language, and so was removed from the Vatican's propagandizing machine. So I don't think this was solely imposed upon us. I think that echoes are like mirrors. That's how animals move through echolocation. They're creating imagery through sound, and or they're discovering imagery through sound. So let me go back. So the language echoes itself and each other. So what I look at are not etymologies, which is the origin of a word, though sometimes I like to look at that. It's really amazing. I've written some articles about that recently. Just so fascinating. So beyond, though, intentionality is a function of language to echo and reflect consciousness. As I look upon it, words emerge at the convergence of culture and consciousness. So you have some words who take on the vibration is made to carry a meaning that may be demeaning to you. So even that we talk about words meaning, I mean, I have a whole little riff on the mean meaning of mean. I'll post it on my Patreon page. So all of these words are speaking to us. Definitions, they deafen us. More than deafen, they stupefy. They can actually stupefy. So people will follow a slogan, and I think about those as slow guns aimed at your consciousness. So people will allow themselves to be programmed by slogans, no matter what a contradiction the sloganeer is to what he advocates. So you may interject at any time. I still have several things in response to what you've said. However, I have had some cannabis tea, and and what happens is flow. And so I like that you feel free to interject at any point. I invite you to do so. And I just have several notes for whenever they become appropriate again of things that might be of interest to you. Oh, one I must share had to do with the letter S and sword. I have a quote from a book I read years ago that I'll read it briefly. It is a minor wonder that the letter S is still with us. It and its sibilant siblings and other alphabets have been abhorred by people who perceived in them the shape or sound of the dread serpent or the monogram of the even more dreaded Satan. The Yazidi Arabs won't pronounce the letter. He went on and on. So S has a really interesting history, and the very fact that it withstood all those attacks, it's quite interesting. And I have a performance piece called Esoterica by Laurel Erica. And I'm going to now use some very multisyllabic words that'll sound very intelligent, but they're just some silly words, some of these. I call this the definitive exegesis of the letter S in verse. So I feel like a minor authority on the letter S just for my little moments of intimate insight with her. Your turn.
So what was that, sorry?
Oh, I don't know where you left off.
No, I was just listening to what you said then. I was just like, what you were saying, as you're saying it, is bringing forth loads of ideas in my head. And one of the things that you just said briefly a few minutes ago, and this might be a slight tangent, but it just made me think of it. When you were talking about, or the way that I sort of perceived what you were saying, is that for every level of consciousness, because you're talking about the English language in that it was kind of exiled as such from the Vatican. And...
No, it wasn't exiled. What I understood Dan Brown to mean was that it was immune because it was not of the same language family. They didn't have such easy access to it, so they couldn't implant messages in it.
Ah, okay. So obviously back then they were using Latin, and then before that there was the languages of Hebrew and Greek that were the main languages of the sort of world, which is obviously going to have some form of gematria attached to it as well. And are you familiar with gematria?
I've looked into it only briefly, and so I can say no, and would love you to familiarize me if you would.
Well, I'm not the expert myself. It's just it's very interesting, obviously, for people that aren't familiar with what I mean by when I say gematria. It's that it's kind of, what's the best way to explain this? It's that letters stand for numbers and vice versa, and that a language would be encoded mathematically just as it was alphabetically. And as you would say a word, what you're also saying is a number, and the number, of as much as it is a quantitative number, numbers have a qualitative aspect as well. So these words encoded more than just the word that was being said. There was the qualitative aspect of the number attached to it as well. And the language would be used in order to create mathematical equations in the sentences that were created. Now, I'm going to butcher this because I don't know the specifics, but in Hebrew, if you have mother, which equates to, see, I don't know the specifics on this, I just know from something that's in the back of my mind that this is what happens. If you have the gematria breakdown of mother and father, and then add them together, it creates the overall number of what child creates. And if that makes sense, so it's little things.
Yes.
Yeah, it's little things like that. And basically words that have an equal numerical value, they share a hidden meaning. So you would be able to encode scriptures with, yeah, like dual meanings by using certain words that at face value may seem unrelated, but if you knew the numerical value of each, then you would see that they're connected on a deeper level than just what you're reading. So it affects the subconscious. Now, that may be completely made up in my mind, but just from retracing it in my head of how I would try to explain it, that would be what I think is a good explanation for my level of knowledge. But there, it's also the English language can also be deciphered like that. So, like, the way I believe is that the Hebrew and Greek languages were created in such a way that the numbers went from like 1 to 10 and then they go up in like magnitudes of 10 to like 20, 30, like 40, 80. I think they kind of double as you go up. But the English language goes from 1 to 26, 25, 26. Fuck, that's a bad mathematics off me. And then you would then create numerical values from the letters on each word on the English language. And supposedly there's some pretty deep insights to have with the English language when you get pretty deep into it and knowing what words really mean.
Is there a book you could refer us to?
Yeah, there is actually, in fact, a guy that I can refer you to who I'm going to have on the podcast next week. And his name is Marty Leeds. And he's got a few books. I'm pretty sure one of the books is called English Gematria, Deciphering the English Language. And he goes in very, very deep into it. And he essentially believes that the English language is a magical language, and that every word that's created has been created for a very specific reason. And that links back to what I was trying to say earlier before I went off on this tangent, is that do you believe that for every level of consciousness that we find ourselves in, being higher or lower, that there is a language that is used within that time period to represent that level of consciousness?
Well, isn't that a lovely, delightful thought? And it makes perfect sense. And you have very interesting ideas. I really enjoy how your mind works.
You're the only one, Laurel. There's not Laurel. I've got to pull myself out on that one. It's that obsession with the God, with the L.
That's right. I accept it with great appreciation. Thank you.
But yeah, you're one of the rare ones that would say that. I think most people would think, like, what the hell is he talking about? But
It's very whimsical, and your tangents get woven into these very large patterns, and it's beautiful.
Thank you. I'll take that in my stride on this one. But what do you think? Do you think that's like, it's just interesting to see the advancement of language throughout human history from what it would have, we don't know. Like, there's no one now that's speaking the language that, I mean, if we're going to get real deep down the rabbit hole, what our ancient ancestors would have been talking in pre-antediluvian times. We don't know what they were talking then, the Atlantean language, Lumerian language. In terms of the ancient Egyptians, I mean, I haven't heard any examples of what that language would have sounded like. Again, you can hear examples of what the Roman and ancient Greek, ancient Arabic sound like, and there's some languages like Hebrew that's still widely used today. And I'm just wondering if it does, because if it's words that you're saying and words hold a vibration, then vibration has a direct effect on our level of consciousness. So it was just something I was piecing together in my head while you were talking. Now I was like, I wonder if that's what happens, that as we go through our shifts, our sort of seasonal cycle of consciousness from a lower to higher level, if that there is a language that's introduced for that time period that becomes the world language, which represents the level of consciousness as a whole, which then is weird because, well, the majority of the world speaks English and our level of consciousness can be looked at as being pretty low.
Yes, so lovely segue into the essential purpose of my work. So for people who may not yet have seen any of my word magic, I have a viral video. It went viral several years ago when someone placed it on the website of Conscious Evolution's Facebook page. So it's called The Secret Spells of the English Language. And I explain Is this a good moment, Chris, for me to just give people a little more orientation into my work, or shall we go back to the exploration of different language on different levels of consciousness?
No, you go ahead, Laurel. You say okay. This is like if you could go over it. Like I've listened to the video like loads of times, and it's fascinating.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, this viral video is called "The Secret Spells of the English Language." And I describe what I call our premier life sentence, which is that we awake each morning and go off during the weekdays to earn our living at various jobs and undertakings until we come to the weekend. And everyone agrees, yeah, this is how it is. However, more people die of heart failure, I understand, between 6 and 10 a.m. Monday morning than any other time of the week. So I explain that what I do is a translation of the English language. And I spell trance, as I earlier did, T-R-A-N-C-E, with the idea that words are putting us in a trance. I mean, words are the instrument of hypnosis. And there's already so much, so many stories spun in simple words that one would overlook. So anyway, it's hypnosis. And so I do a translation of the English language, and I point out that awake is a party to celebrate the death of someone loved. A mourning is the state when you are in when you attend awake. So each day we awake in mourning, and that is a pretty grim way to start the day. So when we say to each other good morning, we're saying simultaneously good grieving. Mm. And why wouldn't you be grieving if you aren't living who you are in this world? So we'll get to that. So okay, so we go off during the weekdays to earn our living. Well, to be weak and to be staggering around in a daze, that's the kind of sleepwalking we do when we are under the hypnosis of all the media and all the spin doctors who are leading us to believe the world is the way that it is because there is no other option. And of course there is. So we're staggering around in a weekdays to earn the living. Well, urns are vases for the ashes of the dead. And it's so fun that we refer to our livelihoods when we are racing to meet deadlines. And so it's kind of a downer vision for the nature of existence. And and job itself is a Hebrew word for persecuted. So, Job. So what you get at the end of this perverse bargain with life is weakened. You get progressively weakened. And a 10-year period of such self-compromised living is, we call it a decade, and the British call it a decade, which is to say what it is. So that leads us back to your question about different languages on different levels of consciousness. That would certainly make total sense. And I need to have a bit of water. One moment.
No problem. Wow.
So what I came to was a theoretical understanding of how this happens, that words contain such a deadly life sentence and that we hear all the time, that we live with as regular and normal. Was it intentionally implanted? Or when the culture meets consciousness, are there imprints in the communication, particularly before words had been formulated in great number? more. They were looking for ways to indicate something. So just that the words rubbing against each other like coins passed from your pocket to mine and traveling. So these are, we talk about coining words. So words can get coined to carry a vibration and a message that may bless or divest us. So I believe, having shared what I call our life sentence, and I have another I'll soon be sharing publicly that happens a lot earlier than the job scene. In any case, the point of it all is I realize that language is software and that English is the leading software of the Western mind. And it's filled with cultural biases that are akin to computer viruses that reflect an antiquated and manipulated vision of reality promulgated by the church as an instrument of mind control, at a time when people had to surrender their minds if they wanted to keep their heads about them, quite literally. So if we elect collectively to upgrade the English language to a freer frequency through our linguistic creativity and naturally occurring verbal eccentricities, then ultimately, even clatter from our idle chatter, prattle patter, blabber blather and palaver as we jabber gab in Babylon, will turn our glowing terms from verbal vapor, either hanging in the air or trapped on paper, into tiny bits of shiny matter as we gather, chat, and natter on, and with new skill at trilling, thrilling statements that instill fulfilling imagery of higher possibilities, we'll finally still the quiet riot of the wild child's manic panic through the mind, so we can flip the switch, enlightening every circuit of our consciousness with the electric surge of verbiage that encourages superb and selfless services to spread from soul to soul around the globe by what is said in all the light years up ahead. And then, from the islands of silence between all that spoken, we will listen as doors to the heartland spring open.
Wow, that's what I mean, like when I was saying that you can just fall into a trance listening to when you get into your flow. And it's, yeah, it's like something that I want to bring up then, which is what it, like the word that really comes to my mind when you're listening to what you've got to say, it's like it's beautiful. And I know that you break down that word to what it really means, it's your thing. What's your thing about beautiful?
It's quite all right that you share my thing, but the way it came through, though, is a fun little story. I was walking on Palisades Park in Santa Monica overlooking the ocean, and I said to my invisible friends, give me a new word. And they instantly gave me I don't want to call it definition or meaning, the expression packed in that vibration or the direction packed in that expression. That's a good way to say it. Mm-hmm. And the direction packed in the expression of beautiful is beautiful.
Yeah.
Nothing more beautiful than that.
Yeah. And when you say it like that, you're like, of course, that has such a deeper significance than any other explanation I've heard of before. And it makes sense. Like when you see someone that is themselves fully and unapologetically, it's beautiful to see. And it's beautiful to witness. And just when you were doing in your flow then, yeah, it's beautiful. I could listen to things like that all day, and there's so much truth in it, so much authenticity, so much wisdom.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's attached to it, and it really, yeah, it just it It does something to your mental state when you're sort of, it's entrainment. That's what it does. It entrains you to a vibration, and it takes you for a ride. And then the ride can be very eye opening if you allow yourself to just experience the ride and not get too caught up in all the twists and turns, but just experience the flow. And
thank you so much. Then you get to experience words as an energetic massage that lights up your own frequencies. So you're reconnecting to your innate memories, which are far greater than what you have learned in the spellcasters' schools.
I love that as well. Energetic massage. Yeah, that's... Oh yeah, I like that one. I'm gonna start using that. Energetic massage. That's exactly what it feels like. That's such a good way
of
describing it. And
thank you.
Yeah, just to I know that I've heard you talk about this before, and it kind of ties in closely to what you said then in terms of how we're programmed in schools, and how looking at children and listening to children before they go through the harsh programming in which we all go through, is that they're very insightful and very wise for their age. That if you listen to it when it's untainted and still pure, before their minds have been molded into a cookie cutter shaped mold that doesn't benefit anyone but a few.
No, elite. It's not a psychedelic mold, or it might be of benefit. Yeah. So could I address what you just said?
Yes, you can indeed.
Thank you. I could do it in verse, but maybe I'll just do it directly. So it's about schools. We know that fish travel in schools. There's one mind. And so it's a strange metaphor to be sharing with fish that children go to schools. Schools are the school you're thinking. So, and you anticipated the life sentence that precedes the working world life sentence. And this is the initial entry into this world life sentence, which is, I was just thinking the other day, the word for an unborn child is not an unborn child, it is a fetus, F-E-T-U-S. I mean, it's so close to fecal, fetus and fecal. It's like there's no respect in it, there's no admiration or honoring of it. When I listen to it, in the way that I do with double hearing, then I hear feed us. So it's feed us, feed us, feed us. And so it's like a constant, that kind of, anyway, I don't want to characterize it, but not beautiful languaging. And there's story embedded in language. And we live out of our stories. We do not have direct experience of reality for, at least most of us don't, maybe some of us do at moments, available to everyone. But part of what keeps us away from it is the stories we're living by. Mm-hmm. So I had a dream a few years ago where I think I was listening to a very advanced linguist. And I only remembered the last little bit of his talk, in which he said that once we evolve the English language, the children who come in won't have to forget who they are or why they're here. So I hold that vision of a language that's so resonant with natural harmonies that it produces growth hormones. And I have a beautiful piece on that. I'll record that soon. I'll video it. So the life sentence for children is, first, the new baby arrives and may be looked upon as arrival to the mother's affection by the other siblings and the father. So there's the new arrival. We talk about out of the mouths of babes for just the very reason you were discussing, Chris, which is that there's so much insight that bubbles forth from the innate human wisdom, and that gets schooled out of people. So school, children are taught in school, and taught means tense, T-A-U-T, and it's a cause of nearsightedness, I understand. And they are given lessons, and what growing thing wants anything that lessens them? Yet they are made to learn lessons. Everything is spelled out so directly in the language. It's just really quite amazing. So the intent is to mold the children to the national culture. And George Bernard Shaw, the 20th century British brilliant writer, playwright, said the vilest abortionist is he who would mold a child's character. So this whole system, again, they're so blatant about it. This whole system was devised by the Board of Education, and it's almost guaranteed that the inquiring minds that enter the system come out Board of Education, which is to their detriment. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I love that Board of Education, and they come out Board of Education. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that I've got this right when I say this. I'm pretty sure, but it just rings a bell, and then I'm having to kind of go through the filing systems in my head to make sure that I factualize this correct. But yeah, the Board of Education was created in 1903, and it was funded by John D. Rockefeller and one of the Carnegies for philanthropic reason. Is that the right way of saying that?
Like philanthropic?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, for that reason. And it's you can see by the people that created this Board of Education and all of the other mischievous doings that they got up to in their day, that there is something more insidious and malevolent with it, what was actually intended for the Board of Education. And it wasn't to teach us what we need to know. It was to teach us what they want us to know in order to be good for their world that they were creating. Yes. At that time, I mean, it was 1903, the Board of Education was created. By 1913, the Federal Reserve was created. 1914, we were pushed into a world war. And then history has really been written by these people since then, and even up to today. But yeah, I love that what you said about it, the Board of Education is created Board of Education. And another thing that I like that you say is when you break down adolescence and adult in terms of what adult is and adult essence. Can you break that down? Because I always like hearing it from your voice.
Oh, thank you. So in the growth of a human, there can be some skittishness about becoming a grown up, because grown is clearly so painful. We're living this life sentence in which our livelihood is deadly boring. So there's grown up, or we could call ourselves adult, but adult is an idiot. And there's just no two ways about that. And the fact that we talk about out of the mouths of babes for the brilliant geniuses that arrive with their incredible observations, and that there isn't a comparable statement for people as they grow older and hopefully wiser, is such an indication that that's not the direction that the ant people are seeking to perpetuate. So So again, well, you go ahead next and then I can hop back in.
Yeah, one of the things as well I just wanted to bring up, because it's just this is a massive tangent, by the way, when I go off onto this, but it's little things are just triggering my mind as we're discussing these subjects, and there's something that I wanted to bring to attention to everyone that's listening, and it can be very coincidental in what I'm about to say. But to quote a film that I enjoyed called Watchmen and Dr. Manhattan, is that there is no such thing as coincidences. There is only possibilities and probabilities folded in to reality by your perception. So keep that in mind with what I'm about to say. And that is that, okay, this is going to open up a big can of worms, but...
Okay, can I just... as an editor, edit that last sentence to my how I look at coincidence.
Yes, go for it.
Just very quickly, I look at coincidence as co-inside dance. And so there's a synchronicity going on. There's a meetup happening. And the fact that there was no intentional plan before, to make that occur, that coincidence, that coincidence must have some significance to maybe a higher intelligence, because we didn't design it for ourselves. So rather than say that it's coincidental and dismiss coincidence as inconsequential, why not do what Bob Dylan said in a song in the 60s? Take what you can gather from coincidence. The coincidences can be very telling.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's a better way of looking at it. And I just wanted to use that coincidence as a disclaimer, because I know what I'm about to say, people will be like, that's just a coincidence. But yeah, when you break it down like that, that's a good way to explain it. So yeah, this is a tangent, guys, but I just want to say it in that, we're talking about word magic here. We're talking about the effects of how these dark magicians behind the scenes, everything is ritual, everything is word, everything is vibration. So, taking that into mind, now this may be very eerie to some, and this may be for some that aren't very conspiratorial, yeah, minded, you might not understand where I'm coming from and what I'm trying to say. But if you look into, you can watch the video on it. It's you just put in George Bush 9/11 classroom. And essentially it's the moment in which George Bush was informed that the second tower had hit the twin tower. Yeah, had been hit by the plane. And first, you watched that was all over the news. Like, everyone's seen his reaction when he was told, and he just sat there and did nothing. Now, if you actually inspect the video and look at what was going on within the classroom, well, what was going on? Well, the kids were reciting spelling, and they were spelling words out loud, and they were talking and they were projecting words. And if you listen to what they said, now this is, I'm not making this up, you can check this out. They were saying hit, steal, plane, must. Now, again, coincidental, but when you understand this from a ritualistic perspective and understand how dark magic is played out and understand that dark magic is presented and you have to agree to it, this is very interesting. Like, these kids were reciting a ritual at the time it was happening. That's very dark. And just, I don't know, I just wanted to bring that up because it sparked something in my head when we were talking about it earlier, and I just thought, man, like, obviously that opens a can of worms in terms of 9/11 and what really happened, da-di-da-di-da. Not going to go into that, but I just wanted to let you know that Yeah, that was a miniature ritual that was captured. And it was interesting that everything happens for a reason. Nothing happens out of by accident. But yeah, anyway.
Well, possibly so, yes. So my focus when people come across my work, particularly the secret spells of the English language, the question is, who did this to us? And it's immediately kind of adversarial and victim-minded. And I don't go there particularly. Mm. I look at what are the possibilities. And so did you want to interject something?
No, but at the same time, I understand where you're coming from with what you're saying, but then I also want to allow people to know how to defend themselves, because first they have to know that they are under attack in order to know how to defend themselves, and then in not just be victim subconsciously. And that's why I just wanted to kind of let people know, like, the little things here and there that are happening. And maybe this is something that you could go into now, is what are powerful words? Like, what are the words which we can integrate into our day-to-day life that empower us?
Oh, good. Well, I'll give you some really sweet ones. However, what I want to preface that with is the suggestion that we all start creating new words. So when I realized that language was software and that it was filled with cultural biases that are akin to computer viruses, then that made me realize that we can collectively, creatively upgrade it. And when I came to that conclusion, and of course would think, this is a crazy idea. Does anyone else have it as well? I learned that Confucius had it, and Socrates said something related, and Orwell said politics corrupts language, and language once corrupted has corrupting real world influence. So, and he says we can start making improvements at the verbal end. And Terence McKenna talked about the fact that the world was made of words, and if you knew the words the world was made of, you could make anything of it. And he also talked about the need for the forced evolution of language. So I have no doubt there are malevolent forces that are working overtime for fool's god. Mm. I mean, it's for worthless stuff. So I know that. And for me to keep my spirits lifted, it's playing with words. And so one of my, I will share some of my favorite already existing but quite obscure words in just a moment. I just want to share something that I realized and coined a word for. And if people are in any way familiar with the name Sigmund Freud and his psychological theories, one moment. He focused on life coming down to the pleasure principle. Mm-hmm. That we are pleasure-seeking, pain-avoiding animals, I guess. I don't know quite what. But for him, the pleasure principle was restricted to the first two chakras. So, you know, the most sensitive sensual areas of our body. And so he thought it was, we were driven, and the mouth is a third avenue for pleasure. So Freud thought the main motivator for human beings, as I understand it in my very limited knowledge, but that the main motivator was the seeking of pleasure, and that pleasure was a strictly sensual experience. So what I've discovered, similar to what you were saying a bit ago, Chris, about a different language for a different frequency of consciousness, which is a wonderful idea and no doubt exists. And in any case, let me find that thread again. Hold a second, please. Mm. So we're looking to weave another story of reality that's at a freer frequency. And we can invent words to do so. And so the word I found for the pleasure principle, with understanding, my understanding that the more refined and elevated our consciousness, the more exquisite the pleasures. They're accessed in a higher region of the brain and beyond. And the pleasure is so exquisite. And it's like you can have intercourse with everyone in trees, and that interconnection of an electrification that we share to animate each other in new ways that are so exciting and spark minds and brilliant ideas that are stored within everybody. So we can do that with language. That's my vision, and that's by making it up. So the pleasure of being able to connect in deep communification with other beings, the pleasure of that, and the goodness that naturally pours like honey from our hearts when we're occupying that space in consciousness and intention. And let me say, I'm a visitor, and I'm looking to take up more lasting resonance in that dimension. So it's available to all of us, but it's the most exquisite pleasures, and it has to do with giving loving kindness. And what that does to our internal organs is so exquisite. So the word I created for that is meta transsensuous supersexual parahedonism. And the tagline is, you accept nothing less. So it's just a bunch of words, meta, para, trans, all of that. Those are words that all mean above. So this is a word I created to evoke pleasures that are above our capacity to express or articulate, but and that increase our capacity to enjoy our lives. So inventing new words is a fun thing to do. I have a forum on my website just beginning, and you would be so welcome to contribute. And Chris, do you want to say something since I've been going on quite a bit?
Everything you're saying just it just lights up different areas of my brain with ideas and thought patterns. And yeah, I really like how you keep saying that the language is like like software. And because I've got this big theory as well, which I'm not going to go into now because I always kind of blabber on about it most of the time in loads of other episodes, in that we're living in a spiritual virtual reality. Everything is software based, everything is code, everything is mathematics, and the language we use, it keeps us at a certain level of complexity of the software that's being used to create our reality. So like, why stick with being stuck in Windows 98 when we can advance the code, where we can upgrade the software and allow us to experience life in, what is it now, Windows 10? I don't know if any, or whatever the latest Apple OS X is, whatever the latest software is in that. Like, we're always updating technologically, so why not upgrade ourselves on a linguistic level as well, if that's more
of a... Yes, and just for fun, just for the pleasure of it, of inventing words. So I have this vision, and if there are people who want to join with me in making this happen, because it really is meant to be a team effort, is to invite everyone to open to the still small voice to receive messages, and to ask with the intention of beautiful new words that you can bring into being, that when people hear it or speak it, it gives them a particular sensation that you think that they'll enjoy, as well as a wonderful download of information.
Mm.
So that's what I'm inviting people to do, is like, all of us invent words. Like I have some quotes by Teilhard de Chardin, a French paleontologist, Jesuit from the previous century, brilliant, wonderful, spiritual man. And somewhere I have a quote from him saying that if there wasn't the impulse toward union between cells, that love couldn't emerge in harmonized form or between us. So to me, that means that love is the magnetic glue that holds everything together. So it's not called love at the cellular level, and beyond the human, there's probably lots of other words for it, but it's that energy of joy and beauty and loving connection and the pleasure that gives. That's what the contest is about. Word Magic's literary lotto. Doesn't have to be a contest, but just inviting people to open to the still small voice with the intention of receiving beautiful downloads of thoughts and phrases in sounds. And the sounds may be very different from English sounds, but if they're beautiful sounds, that's what we are looking for, as well as beautiful significance, something that speaks to the mighty oak in every person, is one way to put it. So that's what the invention of language contest is about. If everyone sends it in, I mean, this is not yet underway. I've had this idea for years. I really invite team people. There's so much fun to be had here if we work together. So people can send it in into the literary lotto with a dollar, and we will choose those we like the best and publicize them and read these beautiful messages all over everywhere. So people are getting these constant affirmative reminders of who and what we truly are as divinely incarnated beings.
Yeah, beautifully put. And it's just to add to that, in terms of like the invention of language and looking at what we're doing here, it's the combination of what I said earlier on with these powerful sort of sound tones. And if you look into cymatics, yes, you're looking at certain sounds, certain vibrations create certain geometrical shapes, they create form. So in essence, when you're like, the words that you're creating strengthen magic. It's a form of magic, and it controls the flow of energy. So the sound that you're projecting is controlling the flow of energy within your field, within your magnetic field, within your electrical field. Or again, another play of words, like you said, with the magnetic glue, magnetic, if you take out the net, makes magic.
Yes. So,
yeah, very interesting. Again, it's just, there's so much can be covered with this, Laurel. It's just endless possibilities with creation, and just the effect that it has with my obsession on just altered states of consciousness and inducing it through various means. And the everything to do with word magic is just a form of entrainment in order to tune your brain into heightened vibrations, into just heightened states of awareness. And I just find it fascinating, because like I was saying to you before, like when you get into your flow, it just tunes you in, and it's almost like the words are secondary to the rhythm and the delivery of the rhythm that you're saying, in that it's almost just the vibration that you're flowing on the wave, on the top of the wave, the vibration. That's how it feels for me. Some people might be like, Chris, what the hell are you talking about, man? You need to kind of like tone this shit down. But for
don't ever. I mean, that was like amazing, perfect description. And I look forward. You've had other ways of describing what I do that are wonderful. And I so appreciate your vision, because it's innovative, which is what I believe vision is meant to be.
Yeah,
so I wonder, I wonder if I could, since you're all about the red pill and the matrix made out of words, I would like to share, I'm hoping I remember it all completely, but it is about homonymic metaphors, and that's a word I created, which means the homonym in a metaphor, and or the metaphor in a homonym. So I'll give you an example of a metaphor in a couple of homonyms. I will, that comes from a poem, and she says, I will give you some examples. These are favorite ones of mine. The fact that praying sounds so savage, yet it also sounds divine. Or how about the way the prophet has become our bottom line? Now add worship or worship, parish or perish, and you'll soon understand why the world's so nightmarish. And that poem goes on from there. But so that's a homonymic metaphor. The two forms of pray, one sounding savage and victim-y, and the other sounding like supplicating God. And the two prophets, Jesus and however he's looked upon, Muhammad as prophets, but then the prophet that's made on the celebration of Jesus's birthday. It's there it is. Those are those two words, they reflect upon each other. And to me, that creates a metaphor. Hmm. So, because there's a mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I totally get it.
So I'm going to do this poem as best I can. See if I have all the pieces to it. I had to update it politically because I wrote it quite some time ago You have likely never heard before of a homonymic metaphor, but that's a pun that helps us see the drama and absurdity of what we often take to be our bottom line reality. Since a major source of human friction, responsible for great affliction, is the arrogance with which most cultures designate what's fact or fiction, we might then very well expect, because our words and worlds connect, some state to state with ardent zeal that it alone on earth is real. And since its people is real light, they wrote the book on wrong and right. We've believed now for millennia in some cosmic schizophrenia that bifurcates the universe, such that the righteous and perverse have separate realms on which to dwell, with earth the battlefield, where hell and heaven's denizens fight for our guilt or innocence, while we, with nothing much to lose except our souls, are forced to choose twixt God or mammon, feast or famine, so well disguised we must examine deep within our heart of hearts to see these worlds are worlds apart. And because our lives are metaphors for our beliefs, we cannot ignore how cosmic conflict finds expression upon this plane through a succession of wars and pandemonium, where Tweedledee fights Tweedledum. Each certain God is on his side, encouraging the fratricide. So I'm nearly done with this, and I need a sip of tea. Not of the cannabis variety, that was just one dip. there's old references, so I'll just put them in because I did this pre-fall of Russia. The conflict between good and evil that caused the 20th century's main upheaval was again played out by duplicates supposed to be true opposites, one boldly red and one true blue, one called US and one SU. Long have we colored wrong and right, reducing life to black and white, projecting error upon each other, expecting terror from one another. South Africans were very straight when they called their system apartheid, But then thanks to Buddha, God, or Allah, healing began with Nelson's mandala. This purview helps us understand why the Irish live in Ireland, why the Romans roamed, why the French have Gaul, and why it is US is against you all. It's why imperialists have said for eons to conquered peoples, now European, and why Hades, as all will agree, in its singular form is pronounced Haiti. Such unseen clues can make it seem we're sleeping through a waking dream, since many words and names we find are symbols for our states of mind. But since most folks raise such strong objections to the thought that archetypes might have sound connections, there are few who register humor or shock to hear the world's sex capital called Bangkok. So when I looked up Bangkok, it was defined as a small port for seamen and the capital of Thailand. How can we call this accidental when some puns provide a transcendental overview of correlations between our thoughts and our creations, while others are the sacred pathways pointing toward our liberation? So that's that piece.
Quite the red pill indeed, Laurel. Wow.
Thank you. I probably should not have gone on quite so long, but anyway, thank you anyone and everyone who stuck with me through it.
Yeah, for sure. That was, again, I could listen to things like that all night. That was indeed quite the red pill, and I think it's something that would be good to kind of wrap this one up, because we've seen, I don't know how long I had you for, Laurel. I haven't got the timer on. How long has this been going for now?
Well, it's 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's a good effort from the two of us. And like you said at the beginning, we were just going to wing this and see how far we got. And I think we've flowed through this nicely, and a lot of insight from yourself that's been shared. And it's really what I was looking for in terms of getting you on, is just to allow you to really sort of have the freedom to let it all out on air. And yeah, I've really enjoyed this one, and I hope everyone that's listened is got the gist of what it was that I was trying to lay the groundwork for with this episode and with yourself, because this is just an introduction, and it, like you said, this is the beginning of an initiation into a new level of consciousness through understanding language, understanding word magic. And so I just want to say a massive thank you again.
Oh, quite a pleasure. And would you be so kind as to post my contact information?
Yeah.
I have a Patreon page, patreon.com/wordmagicglobal, for people who might like to join me in a cannabis tea conversation one-on-one or in a group. I'm going to be starting also the LMN Tree School, which is all about playing with words and the natural music within them and nature, etc. Lots of new offerings. So if you would go to my website, wordmagicglobal.com, and sign up, you will learn about the upcoming offers. And my gratitude for whatever level of support you give. And you will also receive my ebook, a free ebook called The Book of E, a book of alphabet alchemy. So I hope you enjoy it all. And for those who hung in here, I'm grateful that we got a chance to meet in this way. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And I was literally just about to ask you for your for you to drop down whereabouts people that have enjoyed this one can find you. But yeah, you beat me to it. Is there, if you got Have you got Facebook or Instagram or anything like that, Laura? Or is that?
I do have them, and I have not been very good at using them. So it's my intention. But if there's someone who'd like maybe coaching sessions in exchange for some social media support, that would be so divine. I have so much I desire to share, and I get a little, a little help from my friends would be so divine and so gratefully rewarded.
Yeah, I mean, your work, Laura, would be perfect to be if you could do like 1 minute sound bites. If you did that, like little 1 minute sound bites that is like the Instagram standard for videos, that would blow up. That you'd be able to, I'm sure that would reach, you've got the opportunity to reach so many people with that sort of form of media encased in your work within it. And I think something like that would be great. So guys, that's the invitation. Anyone who's listening, who's a bit of a social media boffin, hit Laura up and give her a helping hand, because that would be great. You definitely need to get a presence out there, Laura, and spread the word, for the pun. And
thank you. I'm very grateful you found me and invited me on, and I've been enjoying your program, and you are just wonderful to converse with. It's been a joy, and I thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And it means a lot having something like that said from someone like yourself. And this is this is what I'm doing this for, to connect with people that are on their path, that are on that level of really trying to shine the light and do good in the world. And I really do hope that the people that are listening have appreciated this and really found it thought invoking. Plenty of little bits that you can retrace over, guys, and I'm sure there's things that sparked an interest, and then next thing you know, we're on to other subjects. So yeah, maybe you might have to listen to this one a few times to digest it all, and yeah, search it up, and this may set you on your own little miniature personal quest to discover the hidden meanings of words. And this is just the English language. You can you start going deeper into some of the older languages, and there's plenty more meat to be found there as well. But yeah, in terms of this episode, then let's close this one up. So, Laura, thanks for coming on again, guys. You know how it is by now. You know how I end these. I always want you guys. Always want the best for you guys. Hopefully, you enjoyed it. As always, stay woke as fuck. That's episode 35. Rolling out.